Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Cutting Room Floor. I am LeVar, and we have a lot to cover on this Monday. Just before I kind of go into anything else, if you are following me on Twitter at NewsCommentBTR, that's capital BTR, over on Twitter, you'll know yesterday and last night I was tweeting throughout the evening about the MTV VMAs, and that's one of our top stories, and then we'll get to that in a second. Also, on today's program, I'm going to be announcing our schedule this week. We've got two 401 lounges coming up, one tomorrow, one on Thursday, which will be pretty big, which I'll announce kind of later on in the program. And then, of course, I'll have for you new music and new DVD Tuesday, which I think one of the things is already kind of out with Lil Wayne's album, who actually performed last night at the VMAs. That and a little bit more in terms of the lifestyle music we'll bring to you. And we're just kind of looking to hopefully change things up with the flow here. We'll bring you news and comment, and of course we'll bring you Eye on Hollywood, which will return on Friday, season premiere time. So we've been away for a few weeks, kind of been off a little bit throughout the summer, but we will be returning for those of you that have been asking about Eye on Hollywood. And just want to kind of start first with a news story that's out there. Of course, the big story for this weekend with Hurricane Irene. Hopefully for a lot of you, you are okay. I know quite a few of you are struggling with flooding, especially in Vermont and other places along that eastern borderline. And according to some of the estimates out today, as Irene moves on to Canada, is that the economic damage of this whole thing, which has claimed at least 18 lives, is up to $7 billion in damage. And according to the Associated Press, millions of people were still without power on the East Coast after this storm that's now downgraded basically to a post-tropical cyclone. And the Miami-based National Hurricane Center warned late Sunday of major river flooding occurring in parts of the Northeast. And, of course, President Barack Obama has cautioned that recovery efforts would last for weeks, if not or longer, and that the impact of the storm will be felt for some time. Vermont Governor Pete Schumlin said that the state was in tough shape, while New York State's Andrew Cuomo warned of tremendous flooding in the Catskill Mountain area north of Manhattan. And in New Jersey, some roads were still impassable. A lot of people in North Carolina and Virginia, the youngest victim, you know, of this whole thing was in Newport News, Virginia, an 11-year-old boy who died when a tree crashed through his apartment building. And I think the thing about this that I'm always surprised about is that no matter how much the federal government responds to these type of things, is that there's always detractors. And, you know, there used to be a saying in which they always said better safe than sorry. And I saw myself watching the coverage this weekend. Great job by DirecTV, by the way, to, you know, for those of us that were watching and maybe had, like, family members on the East Coast we were worried about. But kudos to DirecTV, who decided to kind of open up the coverage of the networks or the local channels there on the East Coast. It kind of started from the affiliates in Washington, D.C., and then on up through New York, and so on and so forth. And, you know, there were people who, after the storms occurred, said that the media was making a bigger thing out of this than normal, and that the government was spending too much in terms of preparations, and there were people who were mad that they had to leave, and, you know, maybe it might have rained a little bit or it might have flooded a little bit, and they thought that they could have stayed. I think, you know, if there's the biggest BS factor in all of this is that, you know, if the government did not prepare you for this, and if they just kept quiet about this, and there were more than 18 lives that were taken in this whole thing, I mean, keep in mind, 18 people perished in this. So, obviously, the warnings, you know, were in some ways needed, because 18 people stood fast away from the storm. But there were a lot of people arguing about it and saying that we just thought this and overplanned it. I would rather people overthought, overplanned than to underthink and underplanned, because when you go back to Katrina, ask the people of New Orleans, they all thought, when people were telling them to get the heck out of Dodge, they all thought that once again it was going to be another storm, it wasn't going to do that much damage, and look what happened. So I asked them about underplanning or not thinking that things were going to happen. You know, I kind of get tired always of the people who have something to complain. It's kind of like, you know, if I'm telling you if there's a fire 2 doors down from your house and I'm telling you to evacuate, and you're saying, oh, no, that fire's not going to reach here. And then the fire does reach there and you get seriously injured or die, you know, at least I prepared you. You know, the one thing about weather, as people will always say, is that the only person who truly knows what's going to happen is the man upstairs. Today, we could be sitting here in 80-degree weather. Tomorrow, we could be sitting here in below zero. But for people to come out and to complain about over-planning, I don't know, I think I'll take that any day than somebody that's under-planned and under-prepared. I don't know, that's all I got to say on that one. But unfortunately, like we said, that with this storm, it did claim 18 lives. Most of these were from people who, you know, were either swept away with flooding or high winds that had, you know, knocked trees or power lines onto their houses or cars. So, you know, such a huge, huge thing. But hopefully for all of our friends there on the East Coast who are recovering from this, hopefully for you all, things go a little bit more quicker in terms of recovery. So we're all thinking about you. The other big story, last night, if you were watching, and watching from some of you on Twitter, I believe quite a few of you were, the MTV Video Music Awards, the annual, I guess, event of who knows what's going to happen, took place last night, but moments before the broadcast, perhaps the biggest news of the night came, and it wasn't even an award. Beyonce announced on the red carpet to MTV that she and her husband, Jay-Z, are expecting. As of today, the news has not really come out yet as to how far along she is or, you know, if they know what the baby's going to be. I mean, all that's going to pretty much, I guess, happen as the weeks and months go by. But you have to be happy for her. And later on, she performed a song called Love on Top. And a lot of people are saying, you know, her outfit kind of gave clues to her impending motherhood. Instead of her typical sexy outfits last night, she dressed in a conservative spangled tux. She still danced around in her signature stilettos, but she didn't dance too much. But she had never learned about pregnancy, but in the end, she took off her jacket and rubbed her belly. And in the audience was Jay-Z, who did clap for his wife, as Kanye West kind of hugged him. And Lady Gaga, a lot of people, if you're a Lady Gaga fan, you loved it. If you are not a Lady Gaga fan, you hate it. And if you were on the fence, you didn't know what you just saw. But her much hyped opening number, during which she performed as a greasy, leather jacketed male alter ego during a performance of You and I. And then you also had, you know, a dance off between the members of Odd Future and Jack Black, Will Ferrell, and Seth Rogen, and then Kevin Hart, who was not the host, but came out at the top, kind of provided the comic relief and did some great vignettes along the way, which were pretty funny. And then there was Jay-Z and Kanye West, who came out and performed their new song, Otis. And near the end of the song, if you didn't watch it, somebody tried to walk on the stage, but they were quickly apprehended by a crew member, and Jay-Z kind of looked on. And as everybody said, for the second time, Jay-Z had somebody walk on unannounced to an MTV performance. And as you all remember, 2 years ago, it was Lil Mama. So poor Jay can't catch a break. And then Britney Spears captured the night's first award for Best Pop, and later was honored with the MTV Video Vanguard Award for her visual legacy. And then, of course, there was that moment as Lady Gaga, who was there to present it, teased the kiss, but it never happened. But I'm a little bit confused. It was, if you're going to give somebody an award, you kind of give them a moment to kind of like talk a little bit, thank the audience, get the standing O. But it was kind of like a quick push out there, here's your award, clap, clap, clap. And then they start talking about Beyonce, and then Beyonce starts a performance. But it's kind of like in years past when they gave the Video Vanguard Award, somebody usually gave a nice flowery speech. And as much as I was interested to see what Britney Spears had to say, I mean, she gave a short kind of impromptu speech, but they quickly turned the attention away. And also, Adele had perhaps the highlight of the night, as she delivered in my mind, which was a powerfully understated performance of Somebody Like You off of her top-selling album. Chris Brown also had an aerial number soaring above the crowd in this high-stepping choreography. And then, in perhaps a real poignant moment for the Video Music Awards, Russell Brand came out and talked about his late friend Amy Winehouse, who had died about a month ago. And he urged people to remember her for music and urged others suffering to get help. And Tony Bennett joined Russell Brand in remembering her and showed a clip of them performing a song off of his upcoming album. And then moments later, Bruno Mars sang one of her hits, Valerie. And at the end, it basically was left to Little Wayne to close the show. And he performed this new song and came out and, you know, it was Lil Wayne. And I don't know, it was kind of one of those weird things where the Video Music Awards ended and then that was it. They went into one of their brand new shows. And then after that, I mean, you know, normally you expect the post VMAs or, you know, some coverage of some things. And it just kind of was an odd VMA type of year, one in which I don't know if I'll be watching next year. It better be one heck of a good year for music for me to be a little bit interested in watching it. But that was the VMAs in a nutshell. And on our Facebook page at News and Comment Network, Blog Talk Radio LeVar, I actually have a survey set up asking you out there what your grade was for last night's VMAs. Me personally, I would give it, I mean, as far as award shows go and as far as what we knew to expect from the VMAs, I would say, quite honestly, that my grade probably would be more so I'd say maybe a C minus. It's being pretty kind. I think I'm going C minus, yeah. But that was the MTV VMAs. I'm pretty sure they'll be replaying it for about 50 million times here within the next couple of weeks, so you'll be able to catch it if you missed it. And of course, that's on MTV. A couple other articles of note that were pretty interesting this week that I was going to bring up last week. Some of them, like we said, gets laid on the cutting room floor. Some of it does not. But there was an interesting article on yahoo.com about what the size of your smile says about you. And the article is from a young lady by the name of Jennifer Margulies, who wrote it for Oprah.com. And she said that, you know, that so much more than a pair of, you know, unturned lips, the smile is the most scientifically studied human facial expression. So in a new book, Yale psychology professor Marianne LaFrance draws on the latest research in fields from biology to anthropology to computer science in an effort to shed some light on a happy face. And she says, here are six facts that may make you want to smile. And according to her study, she says that people with big grins live longer. Now, in a study published last year, researchers pored over an old issue of the Baseball Register, analyzing photos of 230 players. They found that on average, the guys with bright, big mouth beams lived 4.9 years longer than the players with partial smiles, and 7 years longer than the players who showed no grin at all. And they said that smiles exert subliminal powers. Now, when study subjects are shown an image of a smiling face for just 4 milliseconds, a flash or quick, the viewers don't conscientiously register the image. They experience a mini emotional high. Compared with control groups, the smile viewers perceive the world in a better light. To them, boring material is more interesting, neutral images look more positive, even bland drinks seem tastier. An article in the British Medical Journal reports that it is indeed possible to spread the love. Now, within social networks, when one person is happy, the feeling migrates to two people beyond her or them. So if you smile, a friend of a friend is more likely to smile too. They said that there's two types of smiles. Genuine smiles and fake smiles are governed by two separate neutral pathways. And they said they know that this is true because people with damage to a certain part of the brain can still break into a spontaneous grin even though they're unable to smile at will. Scientists speculate that our ancestors evolved a neural circuitry to force smiles because it was evolutionary advantages to master fear and fury. Yeah, I know I'm getting along the point here. But as they say, to spot a faker, check the eyes. So when someone smiles out of genuine delight, a facial muscle called the orbicularis oculi involuntarily contracts, crinkling the skin around the eye. So you know that little, like, I think what some people would probably call crow's feet. And it says most of us are incapable of deliberately moving this muscle, which means that when a person fakes a smile, their oculi likely won't budge. So it's the best way. So if somebody's coming up to you, hi, nice to meet you. They're smiling, check their orbicularis oculi. It's the word of the day. And then it says, when reading facial expressions, different cultures home in on different parts of the face. In the United States, we focus on mouths. The Japanese, by contrast, search for feeling in the eyes. So it's very interesting how, you know, I know they always said there's a way to tell, you know, if somebody's genuine or how people are. And truly, I guess the eyes are the window to the soul. So next time you're looking to see if somebody's genuine, check their eyes out. That's what I'd say. And then one from Match.com. Now, I usually like bringing out these Match.com articles because I know there's a lot of you out there that are single, a lot of you out there that are still, you know, on the dating block or maybe are getting blocked back to the dating block. But, ladies, I'm going to help you out. This is your big brother talking. And, guys, according to an article by LaDon Black for Match.com on Yahoo, said the guys want genuine women in their lives. They want to know who you are and what you're, you know, what you're about right from the start. Women don't want their guys to change their relationship, and guys want the same thing from a partner. So it says, knowing this, LaDon compiled a list of top 9 things that a lot of males and readers feel that should never, ever be fake about you, the ladies out there. Number one, sharing your man's interests. Often women feign interest in activities that they would never normally do in order to get the first date with a man, and to keep things moving along once they're seeing each other. He said, don't go crazy for his favorite football team. Develop a love of white water rafting or something to crave Ethiopian food if those things simply are not true to your character. He will eventually see through it or be greatly disappointed when he didn't get the outdoorsy woman that he always dreamed of once you grow tired of it. A man would rather you admit early on that you try something new just for his sake than to act like you absolutely love something that you've totally hated all your life. But you know what? That's kind of true, though, when it comes to being you. Just be yourself. If you, the guy doesn't like it and you lose him, it wasn't meant to be. Rather, he knows about you now and you know about him now, then stuff happening later. That's just me adding on to that article. This is friendships with other men. Do not act like your guy friends are purely platonic when you've actually dated or hooked up in the past with some of them. Guys understand that you can be friends after the romance ends, but they really want to know whether or not Bill, who you were having lunch with every day, is simply a work buddy or a former flame. Your boyfriend doesn't want another guy knowing intimate details about you without his knowledge. Being honest about this area of your life is key in how he chooses to interact with them and whether or not he'll accept your friendships with these guys. So true. Three, what you want out of a relationship. If there's anything I tell any of my female friends, it's to be clear about what you want out of love. And according to this article, it says the same. It says, don't tell them that you want something casual when you know that you've already planned a wedding out in your head. Don't say you want to settle down when you're juggling 10 other guys on the side. You want us to know what the goal is in your dating game so that he can decide whether or not to continue playing along. Also, easing into a relationship doesn't guarantee that you will be able to get something deeper going down the road with him if you change your mind. Then number four, your opinion of his circle of friends. Because don't act as though you like his friends and family when you really don't. Men have been caught in this trap many times by believing their women was comfortable around and even enjoyed spending time with their inner circle, only to find out months later that she was actually miserable. He would much prefer that you were honest about which people you enjoy being around and which ones you don't care for. Many relationships are lost when there's an annoying friend or family member is always around. So let him know your true feelings about his circle so that he can make adjustments to make you more comfortable. And then on your overall look, it says men love a beautiful woman, whether she's all natural, full on glam. However, most feel that you shouldn't be just as stunning at 6 a.m. as you were the previous night out at dinner. Men get the magic of makeup, heels, and even Spanx, but they want the natural you to be just as captivating. Plus, they want you to be just as confident and sexy without all those props as you are with them. And then what goals you like to achieve in the future? I think that's pretty easy. You know, if you want to be that soccer mom or if you want to be a business person, tell him. You know, the truth is he has a picture of the ideal family life in his mind, just like you do. And then another thing, your desires in the bedroom. I think I don't have to go into that. Then what you find attractive about him? Why are you interested? Why are you there? If you're interested in him only because he's a fabulous lover, tell him. If you're only interested in him because he's powerful and successful, be honest about him about that too. Most men, like women, know their strong points and their weaknesses. He'll know what you'll really see in him and will be greatly surprised if your actions and words line up with his thoughts. Bottom line, he wants to know what attracted you to him in the first place so that he can maintain it and keep you interested over time. And then your romantic history. This is where we get to that dark area here. But it says, be clear about your past relationships and love history. He wants to know who he should be on the lookout for, who hurt you the most, which one is the one that got away, and who you still have to deal with regularly because of things like kids, a job, or a family member. Men don't want to be surprised by your past lovers, and they also want to try to avoid doing the things that let you down or hurt you in the past with other men. So the bottom line, ladies, is just be honest. It helps out in the long run. But those are all the stories that we've got there today. Now, the big things about what's coming up here on Blog Talk Radio this week, especially for us, we're literally going to be here almost all week long. We've got a couple of programs coming up throughout the week. Tomorrow, I will have an edition of the 401 Lounge joining me. And actually, this is kind of odd timing. And I'm hoping that she's able to still join me. Fresh from her appearances out there at Exotica in L.A., which is like the biggest adult entertainment convention, is Triple X star Nikki Delano. And we've got a lot to talk about with her. She's one of the up-and-coming stars in the adult entertainment industry, but with a twist. Nikki, if you don't kind of know her history, is also into fitness modeling as well. So we'll have a talk with her tomorrow. I'm excited. That interview is coming up at 12 noon Pacific time, 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern. And then on Wednesday, I'll be back again with the Cutting Room Floor. And then on Friday, season premiere of Eye on Hollywood. We'll be back with that. Time to be determined, so stay tuned to our Facebook page. And then on Thursday night, I've kind of talked about it for the last few days, and I have a list in my mind of people who I'd like to talk to, people who, you know, maybe I've met before, seen before, or had a chance to learn something about. And Thursday at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, 11 o'clock Eastern PM, 8 o'clock out on the West Coast, I'll have a special edition of the 411 Lounge. On the 411 Lounge at that time will be a person who I actually had the pleasure of meeting 2 years ago. And I had a chance to talk with her last week to catch up with her. She's such a busy person. In my mind, one of the nicest people who I've had a chance to talk to and down to earth. And I will say that she is an adult actress, but she's also a lot more mainstream as well, has appeared in a lot of things and interviews, and has been talked about quite frequently here over the last couple of years, and only because of one reason, and that reason that I get to it now is the Tiger Woods scandal. And she was within one of the first coming out, I think she was like number 8 or something like that, of the mistresses that people were known of. And now that I've kind of gotten to everything else, I think we all know who we're talking about, or maybe you don't. But I will be talking to the one and the only Jocelyn James, who will be joining me on Thursday night, September 1st, for a special edition of the 401 Lounge. And Jocelyn is nice enough to literally let me answer or ask quite a few questions regarding that situation, as well as some other things that's going on in her life. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about tomorrow with Nikki, and I'm excited about this upcoming Thursday with Jocelyn James. And now that we've announced that, we'll definitely get the word out on Facebook and on Twitter. And I do invite all of you, if you have Twitter, the best way to really get my innermost thoughts, and I do a lot more now on Twitter than I probably do on Facebook, but I still kind of do both equally, and that is to catch me on Twitter, which now I've become a fan of. We started a Twitter page months ago, didn't do anything with it for a couple of months, and I went back to it, and now we've got quite a few people following, and we're pretty proud of it. And Twitter has actually used a couple of our tweets as their top search parameters. So it's a growing page, and like I said, it's still a growing show, and I do appreciate all of you that do listen and are there and supportive and everything else. And if there's any type of shows that you guys would like to see, definitely get in touch with me and drop me a line. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you call in if you have a chance and you're actually listening to us live. So with that, I will say join me tomorrow with Nikki Delano at 2 o'clock. And then join me on Wednesday, another edition of The Cutting Room Floor, and then on Friday with Eye on Hollywood, and on Thursday with a special edition of the 401 Lounge for my guest is Jocelyn James. So that will do it for today. Hope you guys have a great day and a great week, and I will see you soon. Bye, everybody.